Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit View, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, your host. I'm a consultant to nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact to their clients and communities, and you can find Nonprofit View on Facebook and Twitter. I encourage you to comment early and often using the hashtags NonprofitView, Sunshine Enterprises, Let the Sunshine In, or Small Business Development. You can also leave comments on blogtalkradio.com/nonprofit_you. Today's episode is Let the Sunshine In, Transforming Communities Through Small Business Development. We'll talk about the evidence-based rising tide model, the Sunshine Enterprises Community Business Academy, Sunshine Business Acceleration Services Initiative, and the upcoming Southside Women in Business Summit programs with Sunshine Enterprises. Sunshine Enterprises is the entrepreneurship training arm of Sunshine Gospel Ministries. Shelby is responsible for nurturing entrepreneurs in low-income Chicagoland community. Shelby is a serial entrepreneur who has started many successful small businesses, and these include BHK Laboratories and the Functional Beverage Group. Shelby has taught many entrepreneurs how to start and grow small businesses and has been a featured speaker at workshops sponsored by the City of Chicago Treasurer's Office and the City of Chicago Office of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection. Just recently, his work was featured in the Chicago Tribune's Blue Sky Innovation section, 6 Ways to Make Sure You Don't Tank Your Business Plan. He has recently worked as the manager of financial services for the Duman Entrepreneur Center, and he assisted clients in securing micro-business loans. You can find the bio for Shelby on my blog, Nonprofit U, under Episode 6, Let the Sunshine In. Go to valeriefleonard.com/nonprofitu and click onto the episodes page. So Shelby, can you tell us a little bit about Sunshine Enterprises and how you got involved? And specifically, we're looking for, you know, who Sunshine Enterprises is, your mission, you serve, you know, the whole nine yards.
Oh, sure, Valerie. And first of all, I want to thank you for having me on the show. It's certainly a pleasure. Sunshine Enterprises is an offshoot from Sunshine Gospel Ministries. And Sunshine Gospel Ministries, their mission is to assist youth in the underserved communities. And so we decided that we wanted to serve the entrepreneurs in underserving communities. So Sunshine Gospel Ministry spun off an entity called Sunshine Enterprises, where we have our Community Business Academy. We do coaching for small business owners, and we also have mentorship programs as well as workshops to assist the small business owner in growing their business.
Okay, so now, what are some of your accomplishments?
I would say one of our greatest accomplishments, and if just to speak in general, and maybe we'll speak about it more specifically later, is that we have taken many entrepreneurs who wanted to start a business and didn't really know how to start a business. Through our training programs, we've actually helped them get started in businesses. Other entrepreneurs who had businesses but wanted to grow their business, we connected them with members of our network, and they were able to grow their businesses. And I say one of our greatest accomplishments is the Greenland Coffee Shop, where we decided to put a coffee shop in the middle of an underserved community. And that coffee shop is now a pillar of the community where people can hang out, and it's a safe place for people to gather.
Yeah. I noticed last year you guys were singled out by the Reader, you know, as the best in your class. So that's awesome.
Yes, that's a really good compliment, and that's part of also our small business incubator that we just opened recently, and that's to also bring some of those home-based businesses out into the open and give them a chance to network with other like-minded business owners.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about your business academy. It's a community business academy, and you know what? There are a lot of small business programs around the city. What makes your business academy different from other business development programs?
Sure. I will say the first thing is that we focus more on assisting that business owner getting more practical experience. You'll see that most of the programs, they lecture and they just give out information and then send the business owner on their way. However, what we like to do is we, number one, as we train, we also give them experience. So 3 weeks out of the 12-week Community Business Academy, we do a business simulation class, and that's where the students simulate running a small business, and they simulate a product business as well as a service mm-hmm. business. So they get to immerse themselves into both aspects of running a business, the different types of businesses.
Yeah, it's so funny. You and I were talking. You said sometimes these folks take everything so seriously that you have to kick them out the building, literally.
Yeah. But they have a lot of fun. We allot about 3 hours for the business simulation game. And we end up at 9. It's from 6 to 9. So about 9 o'clock, everybody's still trying to tally up their numbers, see who has the greatest profit. And, you know, it's a very competitive environment. But when you do things like that, people tend to want to stay and not really worry about the time. And I think that's a really tribute to the Community Business Academy's business simulation part.
Mm-hmm. So you guys use the rising tide model. You're a certified provider. So can you give us a little background on the model and how you've adapted for Chicago inner cities?
Sure. The rising tide model was really developed for the Jersey City, New Jersey area, which is mm-hmm. in some ways similar to Chicago. In some ways, it's not. They see a more diverse crowd. And so we have to take the product and the material and kind of make it fit the Chicagoland audience where our crowd is not as diverse. And we have to use more examples that are really Chicago-based. Because it's kind of funny, a lot of students don't really know what a bodega is here in the Chicago area. So we have to modify it a little bit. But then I'd say the Chicago area has some different challenges as well. And so we have to really look at the challenges that our students face. And some of them are like credit issues and personal finance issues. And so we try to address those during the class as well. More in depth than what I would say that Rising Tide does.
Okay, that's great. So can you share a couple success stories?
Sure. The one that comes to mind first is mainly because I had just met with her about 3 weeks ago. But her name is Iva Elliott, and we just mm-hmm. feature her in our Sunshine Facebook page. And Iva has a company called Girl, and she shops for vintage clothing for women. And when she came to the Community Business Academy about a year ago, she didn't know where to start. She just had this idea about how she wanted to do a business. And she went to the Community Business Academy, and through our coaching and other efforts, she was able to open her business 2 months ago, and her mm-hmm. sales for the first month were $1,500. And the next month, this month, her sales will be around $2,000, and she's predicting even more growth next month, where she says her sales will probably be about $3,500. Mm-hmm. You know, people are starting to notice her product, and she has a very unique way of delivering it, and that's vintage clothing. And what she calls a vintage box, but she does the shopping and ships the clothing out to customers. And she has customers now all over the country. And her biggest problem is she doesn't want to grow so too fast. And that's a nice problem to have.
I'm telling you. Okay, and can you share another success story?
Sure, and I'll talk about Jatan Priest, who she came to us and she had a painting business. As a matter of fact, custom painting. She painted the ceiling, the mosaic on the ceiling of our Greenline coffee shop. And her business wasn't doing so well, too well. And then so we connected her with one of the people in our network who's a contractor, and he has a contracting mm-hmm. business. And he was able to start mentoring her and bringing her in on projects that he was working on. And now her business is doing so well that she has to turn down jobs or make appointments well, like a couple of months out. And a great example is that I asked her to paint some things in my house, and she gave me an appointment in August because she's so busy. And and that's the other thing that we try to do is connect people inside of our network to our entrepreneurs, and that in turn helps them grow their business.
Oh, that is awesome. So when is the next class, and what criteria do you use to select program participants?
Our next class will start sometime towards the end of September. We haven't set a firm date for it, but mm-hmm. we will be doing two classes. One will be on Tuesday night. The other one will be on Thursday night. And we certainly always have demand. So if people are interested in those classes, I invite them to try to apply early. Matter of fact, we have already have people on our list for the next classes. The criteria is really simple. Number one, we ask that you either have a business that you're working on or a business idea, one business idea, because sometimes people have many, just one business idea that you're willing to work on, commit to the 12-week Community Business Academy, and then we also ask that they make an investment in themselves. So we have a fee of $250, and the rest of the money is covered by our funders. So it's not, we feel that we're not asking a lot of our students, and we also have financial aid programs. So if someone has some financial issues, we can reduce their tuition, and we can even offer payment plans over the 12-week course of study. And our policy, though, is that we never turn anyone down based on their inability to pay, but we certainly would like for people to make investments in their business and in themselves.
Okay, that is awesome. So for $250, you can get basically what the equivalent is of, say, a college three-hour course, right? About semester's worth of work.
Yes, and matter of fact, at Rising Tide, they have a relationship with a community college where students actually get community college credit for the same course. So, yeah, it's like paying $250 for a three-hour college credit course.
Wow, you're not going to find that anywhere else.
You certainly won't.
So where will the classes be, you know, physically? Where will people have to go?
Normally, we have one class at our offices on 503 East 61st Street. That's our Sunshine Enterprises office. And then we usually have one at one of our partner locations. And normally we do it at the Greater Southwest Community Development Center, which is on the corner of 63rd and Rockwell.
Okay, great. So both very convenient locations, and they're both, you know, accessible by public transportation as well. So,
yes, correct.
Good.
And we're looking to then expand our offering to the West Side. So we're certainly looking for a West Side partner to partner with for our West Side classes.
Okay, awesome. The West Side could definitely use that. And as I always tell you, and I'm always complaining, especially right about now in North Lawndale, we're so focused on social services. In fact, social services make up about 25% of our economy. And you know, with the logjam going down in Springfield, you know, a whole community is held hostage. You know, we're looking at employment and other social services like Medicaid and TANF. Yeah, so we're really, really tied up. So we really need to do things to diversify our economy, and I think small business development is the way to go. So,
I certainly agree.
We need you.
Yeah, so we're certainly trying to get that way.
Okay. I will make sure you get that way.
Okay, well, I'm going to hold you to that now.
All righty. Yeah, we'll hold one another accountable.
Certainly.
So there was an excellent article about you in the program that was in the Tribune last year. 6 ways to make sure you don't tank your business plan. In fact, I made a point to make sure that I put a link to that article on this episode page as well as on my nonprofit U website. One of the points that really stuck out to me was the fact that as entrepreneurs, we get too literal in what we're selling. You know, so if we're in the widget business, we want to tell everybody that we're in the widget business, and that's our selling point. So we tell people widget this, widget that, and that's not necessarily the best way to go about it. So you suggest that we dig deeper and to really understand what it is we're selling so that we can differentiate ourselves in the marketplace. I just want to get a better sense for what you meant by that.
Sure. You raise a good point, and I think I spend a lot of time trying to get people to understand that when I'm coaching them about their businesses. And so it's like, what are you really selling? And most of them, as you say, well, I'm selling this product. But you really have to think a little deeper than that and think about what is that product or service doing for the customer? What value are they getting from that? And you'll find a lot of times it's not what you really think it is. And in the article, I use the example where people go to McDonald's and they don't necessarily go to McDonald's for the food. They go to McDonald's for the convenience. And the food is not that great, but they know that it's convenient, it's consistent, and it's also pretty cheap. And so that makes McDonald's more in the business of selling convenience as they are in the business of selling hamburgers. And you know, you can go to a lot of places and get a good hamburger, but why would you go to McDonald's? You would go to McDonald's because McDonald's is much more convenient than the other places. And mm-hmm. so that's what I got trying to get people to understand, you know, what are you really selling? And what you're really selling is what the value that the customer will want to see and what they get from it. And it's like, are they going to get a warm fuzzy from the hamburger? Are they going to get a warm fuzzy from the convenience of getting that hamburger?
Right. And when you say value, what I'm hearing is not necessarily the monetary value, you know, because we always talk about creating value. But it sounds to me like it's a deeper intrinsic value to the customer.
Correct. And, you know, and that really goes, and I use a second $200 that you would sell it in a high-income area. But they mm-hmm. are actually sold in low-income areas. And the reason that they are because there is some intrinsic value to those shoes. It is not the fact that, you know, you put them on and you jump higher and run faster. It's the fact that there is some other value that the customer perceives, whether it's a status, and mainly it's probably a status thing in their community that they have those pair of shoes. So they're not mm-hmm. just buying those shoes. They are buying that status.
Right. And another piece of advice you gave in the article was that entrepreneurs shouldn't focus so much on profits. You know, when you look at that, you're like, are you crazy? You know, why would I go into business if I'm not focusing on profit? So, you know, to me that sounds very counterintuitive. So what exactly did you mean by that?
That's actually another good point, too. And I just gave a talk on cash flow last night, and that's mm-hmm. really where I business clients, they need to focus on. If you think about it, most companies, startup businesses, don't make a profit in the first 2 years. So if they're really mm-hmm. focused on profits, they're focusing on the wrong thing. Profits will not be the thing that keeps them in business, but cash flow will. So in the first couple of years, I tell them, focus on making sure you have enough cash to make it through, and then figure out how you're going to be profitable during that process. And even mm-hmm. like if you're in a manufacturing or product business, you may not even be able to produce enough where the economies of scale kick in, where you can make a profit on the product in the first couple of years. So what you really need to do is figure out what your expenses are and make sure you have a good grasp on those, and then make sure you have enough money to cover that. You can always predict your expenses and control those, but you can never predict how much money you're going to make. So it's always good to know your expenses and know that you have enough money to cover those to stay in business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at some point, you may want to certainly focus on profits, but there's also companies that are very profitable that go out of business because they don't have cash flow. And that's a deeper conversation, but it's certainly true.
Right. Oh, I know from whence you speak, you know, having run a nonprofit organization and, you know, been in business for myself. So profits and cash flow are quite different.
Yeah.
So you're going to be having an event coming up August 1st, that's this Saturday, and this will be the Southside Women in Business Summit. I'm curious, what made you focus on women this time around?
Well, the first reason I did it was we were looking at some of our numbers and our statistics, and we broke it down by the types of clients that we serve. And lo and mm-hmm. behold, 75% of our clients are women entrepreneurs, or women who wanted to go into business. And mm-hmm. I thought that number was quite high. And then I started doing some research, and I realized that black women entrepreneurs are the fastest growing segment of the entrepreneurship population. And so I thought the needs that a lot of our clients had, I said it would be really great to have a workshop, set of workshops and a summit where not only could they network, but they could also speak to industry experts and get some great ideas about how they can improve the process, improve their businesses, and help grow their businesses. And that's where the Southside Women in Business Summit kind of spawned mm-hmm. from that thought.
Oh, okay. And I want to say thank you so much for inviting me. I'm going to be doing a workshop on nonprofit management. You know, how do you start a nonprofit? And most importantly, how do you keep it going?
And yes, and we're looking forward to having you there as well.
Thank you. But what I really like is the fact that you selected workshop topics that will help business owners address some of their greatest challenges. You know, these are not your typical, I would call them commodities in terms of workshops. you really, really go to the heart of what ails us as businesses or the landmines in businesses. So can you share with us, you know, more about how the summit is going to be structured, what the workshops will focus on, and all that good stuff?
Sure. First of all, I just wanted to develop a theme for the workshop. And I also noticed that a lot of our clients don't really understand a lot of the things that are going to make them successful from the soft skill perspective. And so three of the workshops will be ran by one of my former clients, Alicia Bradley, who is a imaging and branding consultant. And she will talk a lot about how your personal appearance really affects your brand and develop and how they develop their personal brand. So she's going to do one introductory workshop and a couple more specific workshops to help our women business owners develop that outer brand and also think about the things that are like inside of them in terms of building that, bringing that out. And I, when working with a lot of our women entrepreneurs, I do understand there's a big need for that. So that's the topic that I really wanted to cover first and foremost. Secondly, there is a workshop on how to get financing for your business, even when you don't have good credit. And that's another area that I noticed that there's a huge need. A lot of our clients have credit challenges, and we don't want that to stop them from being able to get money to start a business. So I have a representative from Kiva Zip, Karen McKay, and also Erica King from Chicago Neighborhood Initiatives. And they both have loan programs. They're different loan programs, but they both address the needs of people who have credit challenges. And so they'll let them know how they can actually get financing for their business, even if they have no credit score or very poor credit. We're talking, you mentioned your workshop, and you'll be talking about nonprofits. We also will have Michael Schlesinger and Angie Hall. Both of them are lawyers, and they're going to talk more about a lot of the knowledge that they need to have when it comes to starting up their business and choosing a business entity, and then talk about the services that they offer the small business owner. And once again, a lot of their services are free. And since a lot of our clients are credit challenged and they also don't have great finances all the time, the ability to get these free services will be really important to them. Mm-hmm. And then I will be speaking on how to get your products into retail establishments. You know, we have a lot of product people and they really don't understand sometimes how easy it is to get your product into a store. And so I'm going to give some examples of two clients that I worked with and then also myself and how I took a product after 6 months being on the market and got it into a 7 Walgreens store. So I think the topics are really going to be very on point when it comes to assisting women business owners.
I like this. It sounds to me like it's something for everybody.
Yes. Okay. So, and now we say the man can come too. So we're not discriminating at the door, but we would just like, certainly we're going to focus on the needs of the African-American woman entrepreneur.
And, you know, to me, what's so refreshing was to hear you say that Black women actually, you know, lead the charge in terms of the fastest growing segment of entrepreneurs. You know, all too often, you know, especially in the nonprofit world, you know, the headlines I read, you know, Black women are leading, you know, in some negative areas, you know, as well as Black men and Black youth. So to hear that we're actually, you know, the fastest growing segment, you know, in entrepreneurship, that's encouraging.
Yes, it is. And but and also not only entrepreneurship, but even in corporate leadership. So certainly we're going to have a lot of more strong, positive role models that are going to be coming out of a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. So what advice would you give the entrepreneurs who are starting their businesses or they're trying to grow their businesses in communities, you know, like in North Lawndale, you know, where people have, you know, pretty much written them off? And I use North Lawndale as an example, you know, because I'm a North Lawndale resident.
And, right, and I grew up in North Lawndale. So.
yes.
So very familiar, yeah.
Okay.
You know, what I would say, and, you know, when you think about it, when you look at basic business, it all is the same, right? You know, a cash flow projection is a cash flow projection. But what I try to get especially people living in, say, North Lawndale area, south side of Chicago, that that you really need to focus on being more innovative and not trying to follow the crowd. So I think there's a tendency for people to look at, I want to start a business, and, you know, I want to start a business where something else, something that everybody else is doing, because, you know, I know that works. But even if you do that, you have to find some way to be more creative and make your business stand apart from other businesses. And a lot of times it's not something that has to be very technical. It can be something that's very simple. And so my challenge is always to, you know, figure out what will make you stand apart from that, especially when you're in an area where you could have a lot of competition. And so secondly, then, if there's a lot of competition area, find another area to go to, because there are some areas that they may be a little further from home, but there's a lot of business there. And so I really encourage them to, like, even, you know, seek the suburban communities and go out and get some of the suburban money, bring it back to the city, and then let, you know, use that to help grow your community and circulate that money into your community. And that's really how you use small business to grow communities.
Okay, that's some really good advice. And then along those lines, I'm just wondering, you know, do you find that entrepreneurs who are starting businesses in neighborhoods like North Lawndale or other challenging urban markets, do they have to be more creative? And I know you touched on innovation, or would you say that business is business no matter where you're located?
Well, no, they have to be more. I think they should be more creative because the challenges are sometimes different when you look inside those communities. But then sometimes it's a lot easier. You know, you think about it. If you go out to a suburban community, public transportation is, like, not there. But in a lot of communities, if you go to the Chicago area, you have greater access to public transportation. So, you know, there are some things that you might not even need a car to actually do a business, you know. And it's like, so it's like just take little simple steps and say, okay, what can I do, you know, just incrementally to improve the business? Like, I would give a good example. My father, he retired and started a landscaping business. You know, with houses being so close together in the city, he didn't have to travel far to make money. So it was like he had his territory, his business covered a 3-block area. But it was enough money in that 3-block area to, you know, to supplement his Social Security.
Oh, wow.
And he did quite well. And so
that's over 100 houses, closer to 100 houses.
Exactly. Well, you got to the suburban community, there's 5 houses on the block. So so it's much more difficult. You have to look at it and say, okay, there may be some challenges, but then again, there may not be as many challenges. And so that's when you're exactly right. Creativity, innovation, you really have to stop and think about that. What can I do to make this business grow? And it's not just about getting into business and, oh, wow, here's an opportunity to make money. But if you get into a business and say, here's an opportunity to make a difference, and then think about how you can make that difference. And I think that would help them really grow their business. But I also say there's a lot of organizations like Sunshine who have people who are willing to help you grow your business. So you really need to tap into those organizations as well. There's a lot of money being poured into assisting entrepreneurs and helping them grow their businesses and giving them coaching and mentoring and different classes. And that's really the challenge right there, too, is, you know, get the knowledge.
And what I like about your program is you've got people who are teaching the classes who have actually been there, done that, and in some ways are probably going through some of the same struggles that your students are going through. So I think that makes a difference, you know, rather than, you know, giving the lessons from the ivory tower.
Yeah, I agree. And my motto is always that if you're going to train entrepreneurs, you should be a seasoned entrepreneur yourself. Mm-hmm. And so that's really the Sunshine model. It's like when we hire coaches, the coaches have to be seasoned entrepreneurs. We don't even want people who just say, I've worked with entrepreneurs. We want people who are seasoned entrepreneurs who've worked
but
with
they can't be salty, right?
Right.
Seasoned but not salty.
Yeah.
So can you share 3 lessons that you learned over your years of running a business or, you know, watching other entrepreneurs grow?
Sure. First thing I say is, number one, be careful about who you go into business with. You know, sometimes it sounds good. It's like, I have a partner. We can share the money. We can share the work. But really, you have to be very compatible with that person. You you know, because there's always different personality conflict. And I say when you go into business with somebody, make sure your skills complement each other, not necessarily having the same skill set. So you can have, mm-hmm. so, you know, one person can work on what they enjoy doing, another person works on what they enjoy doing, but you also have to be able to communicate, come together and communicate, because that's really important mm-hmm. too. Number two, I would say, make sure you have enough money. A lot of times people go into business and they really don't think about how much money it's going to take to start the business and run that business.
Right.
And sometimes they just fool themselves and thinking they can do it for less money. But really just think about how much money it really is going to take. And that's all part of business planning. Make sure you have a sound business plan before you get into the business, whether you're trying to borrow money or not. Make sure you have a sound mm-hmm. business plan.
I think what I'm hearing you say is even a friends and family venture, you should respect your friends and family enough to share with them your business plan.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Exactly. That's okay. And then the last thing I would say is just really don't focus on money, but follow your passion. And mm-hmm. people who are passionate about things, they find a way to make money off of it. And they also, when the money's not being made, they still have a lot of fun doing it. And I think that's the most important part of it. You know, starting a business shouldn't be something that causes you a lot of stress. It should be something that you enjoy doing it, and you would do it whether you got paid or not.
Right. And I guess this question is more along a personal line. You started Aqua D. So what mm-hmm. was your passion? You know, what was it about the Aqua D business and the vitamin water? Well, not vitamin water, but you can tell us what the product is.
It's like a vitamin water. It's called Aqua D, mm-hmm. which has vitamin D and calcium as its chief vitamin. Passion mm-hmm. is, I'm a chemist by education and training. And so my passion has always been to create stuff. And so mm-hmm. Someone gave me a challenge to create a great tasting drink that was full of vitamins, but it didn't taste like medicine. And it had low calories, and it, you know, it didn't taste like it was diet. And that was a huge challenge to me. And so I went into the lab, I worked with some people, and we put together these remarkable products that are low calories, full of vitamins, and you could never tell that that was the case. And so that was really my passion. It's like I just really enjoy creating stuff. And so it was the mm-hmm. creation of the Aqua D was the passion that I had that drove me forward.
And doing stuff that people, you know, think can't be done, it sounds like.
Right,
to me.
Exactly. Yes, it's certainly, I love the challenge.
Okay, so we've come to the end of our show, and I'd like to thank Shelby Parchman, Director of Programs for Sunshine Enterprises, for being my guest today. Shelby, would you care to share any parting thoughts and tell us how we can reach you?
Okay, sure. I love talking to people about businesses, and so my parting thought would be contact me, Shelby, at sunshinegospel.org. I'm sorry, and then mm-hmm. my email's changing, so you may be able to catch me at shelby@sunshineenterprises.com as well. And give me a call, and we can stop and talk about business, and you can visit the Green Line, and I'm usually sitting around buying cups of coffee for people who like to talk business, so. That's my parting thought. Sit down and chat with Shelby.
Yes. So thank you for listening to Nonprofit U Blog Radio Talk Show. The show will be available for download within about an hour. Be sure to tune in next week when our guest will be Daniel Basil. He's the president and CEO of the Tudor Mentor Institute. The Tudor Mentor Institute gathers all that is known about successful volunteer-based non-school tutoring mentoring programs, and then they apply that knowledge to expand the availability and to enhance the effectiveness of these services to children throughout the Chicago region. So I'm looking forward to a lively discussion, and I hope you can join us next week. Until then, take care.